My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're riding with the King, PhD. I don't think B.B. King threw in King, PhD, when he was creating those lyrics for the song. But there was a show on before we came on that, and I don't know how many people heard it, but if you were listening for 10 minutes, then you heard it. They were talking about the NBA Finals. You know, at this point, because it's been so long, the season's so long, and this is not the main topic today. I'm just was thinking about that. How many people really care about the NBA Finals? I know there's people out there that do care because they're two terrific teams. Something the Sixers will never, or I shouldn't say never, won't be in for the foreseeable future. But I don't know how many people in this area care about the team. I mean, true basketball fans are going to care, but I don't want to get into that. It's just, obviously, the Eagles ended, or it concluded, their mini camps in a couple of weeks, one voluntary, one mandatory, and now it's a long, long wait. I don't know how people can go on. I mean, obviously, the Phillies, they're having the kind of season people enjoy talking about. But how are we going to wait? Because we're so football starved. So football, we're not starved. It's just, you're starved when you're waiting for something football. And there won't be anything. There might be a thing here and there that pops up. Jason Kelce has his event in Sea Isle. But you know, other than that, we are really, we want the next, we do want the next step of Eagles. But never fails that the Eagles find a way, and I'll say, to leave WIP or us with something. And in, I would say, a lot of cases, WIP kind of overdoes it. You know, and not just what people do. But Jalen Hurts left us with a question, and I don't know who he was really directing his kind of non-answer to. Was it the offensive coordinator? And that's what I'm thinking, is it when they're talking about things about Nick Sirianni. It's just, and there's a lot of, there's 95% things that are new in the offense. Is he directing it because he's having trouble absorbing all that? And you got plenty of time. I mean, minicamp, you're not going to get, you're not going to absorb all of it. You got to wait to training camp, which starts at the end of July. So there's a lot of time off. But I'm not quite sure. And, you know, that's the job of reporters. The problem with these news conferences, and a lot of people watch them on social media. The Eagles post a lot of the stuff, most of it, on their Twitter. And you see things, and you see these news conferences, and you can hear it's like a food fight. It's like a food fight for a reporter to ask the next question. But with that, there's no flow. And there's a lot of times there's not a follow-up. And obviously this deserved a follow-up. And people can't, well, why didn't you ask it? You know, people, why didn't I don't get in the Eagles news, in those news conferences, I don't get caught up in the fray because they fight with each other, basically, not fist fights. It's like who can jump in faster and talk louder to get their question answered. But then there's no flow because they already have a question, but they don't listen to follow up. They listen, but they don't follow up the last question. Those news conferences are just not good in this case, to follow up on what Jalen Hurts said. All right, so here, and again, I'm still trying to figure this out. Dan's going to take care of playing this. And you listen, Buzz to some. I've known him as Dan, so you can Buzz Dan or whatever. When you call him in, you can call him Buzz. It'll make him feel good. But whatever. Dan, play the question, the sequence of the question and then the answer by Jalen Hurts.
You know, Nick being open-minded to change up every, you know, the offense like he has. I mean, what's that say about him?
I mean, it's a great question. I don't know that I know the answer to it.
Well, what have you seen from him as far as doing that?
I think he's just, you know, he's been a, you know, great and, you know, the messages he's delivering to the team. He's trying to be very intentional in what he's saying. And yeah.
You know, so the follow-up was, what is he saying? But we know that when the Eagles brought in Kellen Moore, he's the one that's installing the offense. So, and I just interpret that as, you know, it's, how's Nick accepting it? Nick's just, you know, obviously you brought in a coach who you're comfortable with installing an offense. You know, does he put in little things? But to me, that question or whatever, those couple of questions deserve a follow-up. Is this the head coach, or, and, you know, what have your conversations been with Kellen Moore? And do you understand everything that he's trying to do? You know, I'm not criticizing Kellen Moore. Obviously, he's obviously had success other places, and the Eagles and the fans hope he has success here. And Jalen Hurts will be a big part of whether that offense is successful, but he's got to adapt to it. And I'm sure there's not enough time to sit down. The coaches meet. They have in the past, and I'm sure they'll do it again this year. It's either Thursday or Friday to look at the offense and say, all right, this is what we want to do. The coaches say, this is what we want to do. What do you like in these plays or in this approach? And do you want things, you know, those are all the things that are discussed in this whole scenario. Again, I don't know if it's questioning what Kellen Moore is the one. It's Kellen Moore's offense. It's not Nick Sirianni's offense. So, as the word, and I didn't write down the word that was used in the question. Has he adapted, or Dan, play that again. Let's play that again, and let me hear the question clearly again.
You know, Nick being open-minded to change up the offense like he has. I mean, what's that say about him?
I mean, it's a great question. I don't know that I know the answer to it.
What have you seen from him as far as doing that?
I think he's just, he's been great, and the messages he's delivering to the team. He's trying to be very intentional in what he's saying.
So, all right. So the response about Nick Sirianni was not a critical response, but the question was, is he open-minded? So, somewhere there's got to be a follow-up. Do you like all the things that Kellen Moore is installing, all the new things that Kellen Moore, and most of it is new, installing in the offense? I mean, football's football. You make a read, you make a play. Obviously, they're including more of the running back in the plays he's going to run. There's so many options. There's more options that they're going to have. But are you open-minded? Or is Nick Sirianni open-minded? What does that mean? How does he know whether he's open-minded? And then his response about Nick Sirianni, I didn't think was negative. So, I'll ask you. What's he really talking about? And who's he really talking about? And is it the new offense? Whether Nick Sirianni is open-minded, how does the player know whether he's open-minded? All he does is coach. He don't have time to get into meetings and all the other things. And I don't know how many times he meets with players during camp, because there's so many things that they're trying to do that are new. So what do you think? I think it's overstated that he's questioning the coach. Is he open-minded? What does that mean? What does that mean? Is he open-minded? There should have been a question about in somewhere in that mix about Kellen Moore. And again, I'm not criticizing Kellen Moore. I mean, it's just, what are you accepting and being able to adjust to all the new things that they're putting in on the offense? Whatever. All right. The Phillies play today at 1:10 Philadelphia time, 5 hours different in London. I don't know. These London games it's cute. It's nice that the Phillies got tours of different places in London. It's all good right in the middle of a baseball season. I think there's too many international football games, but that's another story. But at least there's one game you have a chance to kind of, and the players are just working. But in baseball, what do you have to do? I guess they can't have no practice. I wouldn't think they'd have to have a practice, some kind of practice, rather than be off for 2 days and just go out and play a game. And you won't be able to tell by the offense, because the last game they played, the Phillies only had 3 hits and Milwaukee only had 3 hits. It's great. The fans are having fun and they're going to a place that has a Philadelphia name, and J.P. Teddy is the owner of Passyunk Avenue, and he's got a few places over there now. I've been to the original when the Eagles were over there, and it's Philadelphia-based because he's originally from Philadelphia, but now he's got business over in London, and he's obviously killing it with everything he's doing. So Passyunk Avenue is where the Philly fans know where to go, and there's a bunch of them over there. I hope they're enjoying London and not just a bar and two baseball games. It's weird. I mean, watching a baseball game in London, it's like watching a football game. Again, the Eagles are playing in Brazil, I don't know that they need it. Matter of fact, I know they didn't need to go to Brazil, but that's another story for another day. And another little thing that popped up this week, and I people made not a big deal, but probably more than it should. Jeff Lurie, according to a story, I think it originated in the Business Journal, is going to sell a piece of the team. But whoever buys that, it's not going to have any say. It's just the ego of saying that you're one of the owners of the Philadelphia Eagles. Not going to have any say. Zero. He'll be able to parade around as one of the owners, put up a lot of money to do that, but whoever is going to buy that piece already has a lot of money, as the Eagles' minority partners have now. They have a lot of money. The two guys that I know now are pretty good guys. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, I guess it has to be approved by the NFL. But if Jeffrey Lurie chooses somebody, I'm sure it'll be approved. But again, it's not even a big deal. He's not going anywhere. The team will still be run by Jeffrey Lurie. He will make the decisions that have to be made. Eventually, I'm sure his son, who is doing more and more with the team, will be a decision maker. But again, it's not a big deal. All right, so here's the question. And it comes up with the response kind of from Jalen Hurts. The question this morning, to try to win the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's, in Horsham, Fort Washington, and Lionville. And the Phillies game on Sunday is 10:10 our time. So McGurk's will be open, and I'm sure you'll be able to get breakfast at McGurk's. So it's a place that I'm sure a lot of Phillies fans will be watching the games from London this afternoon at 1:10 and tomorrow morning at 10:10. So here is the question. Who is the most understood, or just you can't figure out, the most understood player, or somebody you just can't figure out that you can remember in Philadelphia sports? Most understood, or you just can't figure that person out. And it's just, there's probably a few of them. There's probably a few. All right, let me give you the numbers. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. As I've told you all along, you already know the numbers. So I don't have to give them 20 times before you roll in and give us a call. All right, let's go to the phones and let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Howard, I want to talk a little bit, obviously, about what you have talked about on your preamble to the callers, and that's Jalen Hurts. And here's the thing, like, unless Jalen Hurts was actually there in devising and combining and going over the offense and understanding Kellen Moore's offense and being there with Nick Sirianni during the whole process, how is he supposed to answer that question? I mean, he answered it as logically, I think, as he could have. I mean,
but I think the direction, and let me just interject here while you're putting it, I think what people, or what it's come really transpired, I guess, on WIP is, well, you know, maybe he's questioning the coach. I don't think he's questioning the coach. It's not the coach's offense. Is he open-minded to it? How do you know in a short period of time, when you really don't have a lot of meat? I mean, there's meetings among team groups and the coach jumps in, but that's where Jalen Hurts, and who knows whether he's asked any questions about, you know, why are you doing this? What are you doing here? But do you think it's Nick Sirianni?
I don't think it's Nick Sirianni. But, I mean, here's the thing. Like, asking a question like that after a couple of mini camps and a mandatory 3-day, I mean, ask this 3 weeks into training camp where, you know, Nick's probably going to be involved every day and you might be able to get an understanding of whether he's open-minded, whether he agrees or whether he disagrees. But, like, right now, I mean, I think he answered this question as honestly as he could. I don't know. It's a hard question to answer. I don't know.
I agree. That's why, all this, well, is Jalen Hurts questioning the head coach? He's not questioning in the sense of the word. He's not questioning the head coach. The question is, you know, is he open-minded to it? How the hell is he supposed to know that? you know.
No, he's not supposed. He's not supposed to know. And I agree. There should have been a better follow up.
I'm not defending Jalen Hurts. I'm just defending that, you know, the perception that he's questioning the head coach. See, that this is a. We've already started, and I'm not part of it because I think Nick Sirianni is a good head coach. But there's already a little sense, and I think it came up on the morning show, that nitwit, you know, already he's already ready to move on from Nick Sirianni as the head coach, which is a joke. You know, why are we questioning? The Eagles all along were bringing Nick Sirianni back. But as they do, they talk about things. I think the reason there was such a delay, I think they wanted to announce something else, to throw something else in the news conference, because they were working on, and it was actually, it came out towards the end of Nick Sirianni's post-game news conference that they wanted to hire Vic Fangio. So, I think there's too much put into that, too. I was told there was never a question, but they go over things. There was never a question. And, you know, they should have done it sooner, but I think they wanted to get a coach announcement in there, too. But whatever.
Let's be clear. Like, could he have answered that question probably a little bit better? Certainly he could have answered a little bit better. But with that being said, like, you know, obviously everybody needs a story. So the easy story is to say, oh, there's some kind of dissension. He's not with the coach. And so, I don't see that as necessarily the truth.
Well, it's always easy to say, oh, he's questioning the coach. Well, okay, it's easy to say that, but is that really the case? That's the whole thing. Is that really the case? So,
Howard, just real quick, you were at the mandatory minicamp, correct?
Yeah.
What do you see as far as DeJean and Mitchell?
Well, they're very athletic, but again, it's here's the thing: when you look at defense being ahead of the offense, well, you know they're not going to there's not going to be any running plays. So you don't have to worry about that part of it. So you really kind of narrow in. But they're very athletic. Cooper DeJean is an interesting guy because he's going to do more than play the secondary. He will be on special teams. I'm telling you right now, he will be on special teams as some kind of returner. That's what I'm hearing. That's what you look at his history in college of being a punt returner. But as far as what I see from those two guys, they're very athletic. They're very athletic. And, you know, they should be when you're drafting players in the first and early second round. All right, the question today, the most understood player or somebody you just can't figure out?
I think I have to go with the most understood player, and this guy understands Philly, and it's absolutely Jason Kelce.
No, the most misunderstood. I guess I phrased it incorrectly. The most misunderstood player. You just can't. Jason Kelce is the guy. If you know, you understand him to a T.
I'll pivot a little bit and say most misunderstood would be AJ Brown.
You know what? That's actually not a bad answer. But he's not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. He's a good guy. And I'll get into telling you what some of the things that A.J. Brown does, which go unnoticed and nobody makes a big deal. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. And I phrased it incorrectly. That's my mistake. Misunderstood, or you just can't figure out player in Philadelphia sports. So that might change some people's opinions. I'm Howard Eskin. The time now is 8:22. And a tasty new game is coming your way. Test your skills in Kirby's Quick Run. You're going to say, what the heck is Kirby's Quick Run? Well, that's at tastycake.com. Tasty Cake, and by this time, you know how to spell Tasty Cake. Tastycake.com. Help Kirby the Crimpet collect all of the Tasty Cake treats. Play now to enter Tasty Cake sweepstakes for a chance to win exclusive prizes. Increase your chances of winning by playing every day. And don't forget to celebrate, it's National Crimpet Day on July 7th. I mean, every day is a Crimpet Day. If you love Tasty Cake, and crimpets are one of the best, by grabbing some limited edition confetti crimpets in your stores, and it's there now. Tasty Cake, accept no substitutes.
He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fox. For gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
I hear these promos about who the Sixers should get. Anybody that says LeFraud James is clueless. Clueless. So here's a guy you want to bring in. Be another player that does what he wants and doesn't listen to the coach. Well, he'll listen to the coach, but he'll still do what he wants to do. And then you got to bring his kid in, which is ridiculous. Hey, listen, it's nice if he wants to play with his kid. But, you know, to make that demand is just, it is ridiculous. It's selfish. LeFraud James is a coach killer. Eight coaches have been fired with teams that LeFraud has played for. Eight. It would have been nine, but Pat Riley wouldn't fire Eric Spoelstra. It's another coach he wanted to fire. I don't know how many were good and how many weren't, but there have been coaches that have been successful after being fired by LeBron James. But to want LeFraud James to come to the Sixers, like, how is that going to make him better? And look at his history. This load management, which they don't call that anymore. Look at his history. Outside of last season, when he played 71 games. For the previous four or five seasons, he only averaged 50-some games a year. Because he wants to save himself to keep his scoring average up. Because if you play a game and you only play like 10, 15 minutes, even though you're not 100%, it brings down your scoring average. So he just wants to build up his numbers. He would be the worst thing for the 76ers. The worst. Absolutely, positively, not a question. Let's go to Rick. Rick, you're on WIP.
Howard, how are you?
I've never had a bad day.
I know, you never had a bad day in life. You know, you and I have a lot in common. We're both from the Northeast. You're a little older than me. I would have gone to the Northeast, but I went to Plymouth White Marsh. But anyway,
I transferred
the middle of ninth grade from Wilson and headed out there. But what a culture shock that was from Woodrow Wilson to Plymouth Junior High.
Woodrow Wilson was the junior high school. And that's still around.
He went from parking lots and jail fences to football fields and soccer fields.
I haven't been around there for a while, but somebody told me I met a teacher that works at Wilson. And the schoolyard, as we called it, where we used to play a lot of ball during the recess and all that doesn't exist anymore.
Handball, the
way it was, doesn't exist the way it was. Yeah.
We rolled up a belt and played football, right?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't football. It was usually box ball and handball.
We made up all kinds of – we could spend hours on what we made up as games. But anyway, being a season ticket holder for 40 years – believe it or not, I may be a minority based on what you started the show with your monologue. I'm actually okay with the wait while the Phillies are having this early success, because I don't remember the Phillies having a shot at three all-star starting pitchers, four starters that have a 2.80 or less ERA. I'm not even sure the old Cardinals or Detroit Tiger teams had that early success. And the offense and the leading division, I'm okay with the wait for the Eagles, believe it or not. I'm enjoying this. But my issue is, and it's not really you, I think it's a lot of other part of the media, I think the media is digging so hard to get appropriate answers to good questions from Jalen Hurts. He's just not going to budge, Howard. He's just not going to give the media what he wants. I just don't see that happening, even though some of his answers are out there in left field.
No, he's not, but he didn't leave it open. But the question probably could have been phrased, is Nick Sirianni open-minded? Well, he's the coach who had to have a little bit of a say in Kellen Moore coming in as the offensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
And Kellen Moore, it's Kellen Moore's offense. So if there's a question, but Kellen Moore doesn't generate the angst, I guess you could say, from the public and from WIP and from when you say Kellen Moore, it's like because it's always directed to the head coach. If the head coach
totally
brings
agree.
In, if the head coach brings in an offense coordinator who's going to change the offense, is he open mind? How would Jalen Hurts even know that? How would he even know that? You know, he didn't say anything, but he didn't know it. I mean, there's probably not that much time that you have individually with coaches and in meetings because it's mini camp because you're installing so many things which are done in the meeting.
Yeah, I totally get that. And it's funny. If you had 10 quarterbacks interviewed back-to-back-to-back-to-back, Jalen Hurts is probably going to be the most different type of interview. I mean, you ask these other quarterbacks questions, they answer you with answers that you understand. With Jalen, it's just, it almost has looked like he took how to answer interviews 101 and 102 when he was at Alabama and Oklahoma. He just doesn't give you what you want.
He doesn't share. He doesn't share a lot of what he may, and we don't know if he's really thinking of what he may be thinking. He doesn't share a lot of what he may be thinking. So, you know,
totally
how
agree.
Do you know? How do you know?
Let me answer your question. So you have a lot of callers because of your popularity. This is a blanket answer, but I'll give you a specific name because of a pet peeve of mine. 95% of Philadelphia owners and GMs in the last 90 years were misunderstood as far as I could see. That's why I think so we starve for champions. Out of all the,
and you can't just say owners.
I know you're not. I can't. I'm going to tell you what was a pet peeve of mine. This whole Sixers demise, and I think he skates, and everybody gives him a big mulligan. I think ever since we'll never have a Pat Williams. I don't think, and I agree with your Maury comments. But ever since Billy King was general manager, this franchise went right down the tubes, and I never understood Billy King and some of the moves that he made.
Meaning in a negative or a positive way?
No, I think he was one of the worst general managers and misunderstood on what his philosophies were and what he was trying to build.
But you got to understand that Billy King really worked in tandem with Larry Brown. They were a pair. They worked in tandem. Those are the two people that made the decisions.
Well, I think
and
that
if Larry
ruined
wanted
the franchise
guy, Billy tried
where
to get
we're at,
it.
Where we're at
if
today.
If Billy had a suggestion and he really wanted a guy, he would talk Larry Brown.
Ratify Larry Brown.
Yeah. So, but it's Billy King, Larry Brown. But so you think Billy, I think Billy was very understood. Did he make all good decisions? No, but nobody does. But at least he didn't try to con you like the guy. You know, the guy running the show now is.
Maury's stealing money, as you put it. And by the way, I'll leave you with this, my friend. I don't know if any of the names they've been talking about, I think you might agree, can help this Sixers team. The problem is, this is the era, I could be wrong, I'll listen to your comment after I hang up, this is the era of the wing player. The 6'6", the 6'9", wing players, you need three of them now to win a championship when you used to need three all-stars. And the problem is Maxi and Embiid is not a wing player. I don't know if any of these older players that they're talking about, whether it's LaFraud, whether it's George, whether it's Butler, I don't think any one of those three guys are going to help this team get
I'll say this, and I appreciate the call, Rick.
I'll say this.
They will, and thanks for the call. Whoever they get will help, but I don't think it's going to help enough. That's the problem. It's not just, okay, you add a player and all of a sudden, bingo, here it is, magic. No, that's not the way it's going to work. And I think that's, Butler's going to want two more years, which is a mistake. Paul George, a nice player 4 years ago. Could he help? Yeah, a little bit. To mention LaFraud is just complete nonsense. It's a farce. Let's go to Gerald. Gerald in Germantown. Gerald, you're on WIP. Okay, let's go to Joe. Gerald dropped out.
Good morning, King.
Yeah, good morning.
King, it's belated, but I want to congratulate you receiving your doctorate. Very important honor.
You know what? It's a great honor. Important is a different word. It's a great honor. And somebody, obviously, in Goldie Beacom College in Wilmington, respected the career that I've continued to have and had. And it's a great honor.
Yes. So and colleges and universities don't pick just anybody. There's a basis for that. Somebody who excels in his field, somebody who has something important to say. And hopefully,
you know I saw Irving Fryer yesterday, and he says he's got two doctorates. A doctorate's a doctorate, but I don't even know what they were in, and I didn't get into that. I should have asked Fryer. I did a show with Irving Fryer, so I know Irving really well. But when you're an athlete, sometimes it's skewed because of the popularity of the athlete. And I'm not taking anything away. It's like Shaq, who's a great guy. I'm sure has a doctorate from somewhere. Like, for what reason? As a basketball player. That's great. But, you know, I think my work is a big part, not a big part, it's the part of why Goldie Beacom decided to give me a doctorate or honor me with it. They didn't give it to me. They honored me with it. And sure. You know what? Probably the most satisfying part of that was the commencement speech. And I think I reached a lot of the graduates, which was really
important. That's the key. The speech.
Yep.
Now,
which is on YouTube, and it's somewhere in my Twitter timeline there. So
as far as Jalen Hurts, it wasn't like so much what he said. It's what he didn't say. He did not endorse the coach. He wants to play
Did. He kind of talked about the other things he says to the team. It wasn't a negative, but it didn't address the question, because the question was that's why there needed to be more of a follow-up. And, you know, and that mess, that food fight that they have when they have news conferences with people jumping in and ask questions, you didn't get... Jalen, explain this situation. So is it Kellen Moore that... how are you adjusting to Kellen Moore's offense? That's really whether Nick Sirianni is open-minded to it. He obviously has to be, or otherwise the coach wouldn't be, Kellen Moore wouldn't be there. So
sure. And it seems to me that he wants to play the way he wants to play, and not necessarily the coaching staff.
Well, that has to be answered, and it's not. It's usually never answered. All right, Jeff.
That's true.
All right, give me your who is the most misunderstood player, or you just can't figure that player out.
King, I have to pass on that. There's about 200 of them.
Okay. Do you have one of the two? You don't even have one of the 200.
There's a player.
Just give me the name.
No. Bryce Harper.
That's interesting. You know what?
Getting thrown out on
Hey, Joe, thanks for the call. That's an interesting answer. I think we have figured him out. He wears Fanatic headbands, Fanatic shoes. He embraces the Fanatic. And thus the fans embrace him. It's kind of an easy dynamic. All right.
There were so many good answers. He didn't want to leave anyone out. He was like, there's 200 of them. I don't want to name any of them.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
He's like, I don't want to offend anybody.
Offend? What do you mean? It's WIP, isn't it? Since when do callers worry about offending anybody on WIP? Come on. Bryce Harper. How did he come up with all the 200? He came up with Bryce Harper.
I was gonna say, he feels like one of the more understood ones, similar to Kelsey.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
It's pretty transparent.
I think you understand it. Whether you agree with all of it is another thing, but I think you clearly understand it. You're absolutely right. All right. 215-592-9494. Retirement. Retirement. I'll mention that when we come back. And Is Nick Sirianni open-minded? What does that mean? I'm Howard Eskin. The time is 8:42.
London calling through the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. London calling to the underworld.
Actually, yesterday it was really nice, and I want to give a shout out and congratulations, Ron Jaworski. Every year, he has a foundation that really that helps kids, and every year it's a big undertaking, and he's got really terrific people that work with him or for him for the foundation. And he had a golf tournament yesterday, two flights, you know, to do all those golfers, a morning flight 7:30, which I played in, and then an afternoon one at 1 o'clock. Former players I didn't see because the morning session went long. Joe Flacco, who's always been nice to him, comes in, but former player, so he's kind of like a former current. Joe is always, Joe just resurrected himself. But it's not just Joe. Jason Kelsey was there. There's a lot of guys, former players. Brian Westbrook was there. You know, I could go down the list of people there. I think Brandon Graham was supposed to be there too. I didn't see him because we come out of you playing in the afternoon flight. Those guys teed off before we got back in. But anyway, it was a great, it was organized, it was great, and congratulations to Ron for putting on such a wonderful and terrific event, which raises money for his foundation, which helps kids, and that's the most important thing. That's the most important part about it. All right, let's go back to the phones. And where are we going here? It's who's up first is Mike. Mike, you're on WIP. Mike, where are you from?
Doctor, if you just signed a $200 million contract, wouldn't you have a smile on your face?
And who are we talking about?
Jalen Hurts.
Oh, yeah, right.
The man
okay.
Never...
Mike, let me get something clear here. I see on the screen North Casta. Where are you from?
North Catasauqua.
Where the heck is that?
That is about 5-6 miles away from Allentown.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, I just wanted to clear that up. But you know what? Your question, how do I respond to that? Wouldn't you have a smile on your face? His personality is what his personality is. And nobody cares unless nobody cares if he plays well. And nobody cares unless that personality affects his ability to play well. But if he goes out and does what he did a couple of years ago, nobody cares. And he was that guy a couple of years ago. Nobody cares. You just got to go out there and put up numbers and produce. But that's the challenge here. That's really that's what he's got to do.
You're right. One quick thing with the Sixers. I think they need to sign one of those Wisconsin, Indiana centers, big guy, play about two-thirds of the game. Just pay him nice, a little bit of money. Send
him
out.
Who are you talking about?
Anybody. They need the rebound, right? They're lacking rebounding.
Yeah, but Joel Embiid's going to play 30, assuming he's healthy, which we can never assume. He's going to play 32 to 35 minutes a game, so there's not much left for. They tried that with Paul Reed. That failed. So I don't know.
Well, this way Embiid can float around and shoot his threes and everything, and you got somebody that can actually rebound because he's not down there to rebound.
He's not really a rebounder. He gets rebounds because he's 7'2". I mean,
so pay a guy out of college that's 6'10".
Well, you got to draft a guy out of college.
That would be a bad idea.
Yeah, but they still need somebody in that starting five. They need somebody, or a really good bench player. Buddy Hield, I didn't see the fear of God into the other teams, as Daryl Morey said there would be.
Right.
The heel came down the court. What a stupid, asinine comment that was. That's ridiculous.
They got a lot of semi-good players on their team, you know, besides the first three, four, whatever.
Well, they don't have a lot of good. When you say semi to semi-good, Maxey's the best player on the team. Not the most talented, but he's the best player.
I agree.
Because he does everything you want. He plays hard. That's all the time. He listens to the coach all
and
the time.
He's got a smile on his face.
Yeah, and he's there for his teammates all the time.
Yes.
I mean, you can't beat that. Can't beat that. But, all right, so the most misunderstood player or somebody you just can't figure out.
Well, I heard a story a long time ago about this guy, and I hope you can expound on this, something with the media, Steve Carlton.
You know what? Steve Carlton's actually, I knew Steve. It's interesting how, and I'll tell this story to people, in the next hour, how I got to know him, and we became friendly. And it's kind of interesting how that all transpired, but he was, and I know why he was misunderstood. But that's actually a good one, Mike. Thanks for the call. 215. Yeah, I'm going to get it. Steve Carlton is it? That's an interesting guy. Great pitcher. And you're never going to see a pitcher like that again. I mean, there's other pitchers like him. It's like I noticed today in history, Nolan Ryan had his fourth game of 19 strikeouts. Can you imagine that? Pitchers don't even pitch long enough to have 19 strikeouts. 19, and that's not even the record. The record's 20, but 20 strikeouts in a game. But four times he had 19 strikeouts. Nolan Ryan was unbelievable. But you don't find those players anymore. It's Steve Carlton, 329 wins. I don't think you're ever going to see a pitcher ever again that gets 300 wins. It's just not going to happen. You just don't see complete games. You don't see innings pitched. You don't see strikeouts in the season. It's unbelievable. But Steve Carlton was phenomenal. Warren Spahn might have, and Sandy Koufax, probably better left-handers, but Steve Carlton's right in that conversation. It's unbelievable. I'll get into that. But Steve Carlton was misunderstood. He wasn't a bad guy, but he was, you know, kind of a, for a few reasons, kind of a quiet guy. 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin. The time now on this wonderful Saturday is 8:55, and a tasty new game. It's coming your way. Tasty because it's tasty cake. Test your skills in Kirby's Quick Run. Kirby's the mascot, if you didn't know. At tastycake.com. Tastycake.com. Help Kirby the Crimpet. I wonder if Kirby walks around with crimpets when he's walking around. I got to find Kirby.
He's a crimpet himself, right?
What's that?
Isn't he a crimpet himself?
Yeah, he's a crimpet himself.
So if he eats crimpets, wouldn't that make him a cannibal?
Yeah, but you can't. I don't think what he's dressed in is edible.
Does the crimpet eat other crimpets?
No. Well, the crimpet can eat other crimpets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he could be a Hannibal Lecter. No, I'm not going to prepare him. Kirby the Crimpet's a good, is he a human being? He's a good whatever. All right. For taste, but he's got all the, you can collect all the Tasty Cake treats too. Play now to enter Tasty Cake sweepstakes for a chance to win exclusive prizes. Increase your chances of winning by playing every day. Watch out for Kirby the Crimpet. And don't forget to celebrate National Crimpet Day on July 7th by picking up some limited edition confetti crimpets in your stores now. Tasty Cake, accept no substitutes. It's all right. But anyway, you know, I can't get enough of Elton. By the way, a couple of big concerts in Philadelphia. I believe it's tonight that Kenny Chesney's in town, and Tuesday night, the Stones. Can you imagine Mick Jagger, 80 years old, 80 years old, and he's still, he might be 81 now, but it's only a number. If you love it and you're still good at it, it's like Rod Stewart. When I saw Rod Stewart when I was down at spring training, he was over at Hard Rock in Tampa, and got to talk to him a little bit too. The fact that he remembered the situation I talked about when I had him, when I interviewed Rod Stewart when I was a disc jockey early in my career, and he didn't remember me, but he remembered why he was in town in the Washington, D.C. area, and he knew exactly what it was. But he was good too. You know, if you enjoy it, you just keep on doing it. And that's a big thing. All right. I'll address this Steve Carlton thing, but I want to address something I mentioned earlier. Somebody pointed up A.J. Brown as being misunderstood. He is really a good teammate. One thing that used to happen a lot more than it happens now, certain teammates, and obviously high-profile teammates, would take other teammates out for dinner or just take them out somewhere during the season. AJ has the bowling thing he does with those guys, and he gets all the teammates together. And he takes them out to dinner, too. He picks up the check, too, by the way. There's a lot of athletes that have alligator arms. Don't pick up anything except when they play, if they pick up the ball. But he is kind of a, but his teammates don't misunderstand him. The more and more I learn about him, and sometimes it takes time to hear everything. And he's really, really a good teammate, but I'll get into the Steve Carlton thing too as well. All right, let's go to a complete moron, a complete dope, and a stone cold idiot, and that would be Cowboy Jim. Yeah, what do you want today?
Do you really want to go see Willie Nelson at 90 years old? I mean, come on.
I didn't even mention Willie Nelson. Well, let's put it this way. Let's put
but
it this
90.
Way. I saw Rod Stewart, and I enjoyed the concert. I'll figure out about the Stones on Tuesday. I might pop in there and see. And Mick Jagger, if he's still cranking it out the way he used to, I don't care what his age is. Hey, I'm telling you, you act like you're 104, but, you know, nobody cares.
Can we get to a serious issue going on at WIP?
Well, you started the ball rolling there.
All right, let me get to Elliot Shore Parks. Now, he keeps advocating that it would be okay for players to bet on themselves. So you're telling me that
let's clarify, who said that?
Elliot Shore Parks.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right, and you know what? Captain Clickbait. Clickbait, who is a dope. That is the most asinine,
right,
stupid statement. But because he said it, why would you even justify that?
Right, but you can't get through to him. I'm trying to say, what if Jake Elliott went out there and missed the field goal and the Eagles lost? And then a couple days later, you find out that Jake Elliott, you know, had it that the Eagles had $1 million and that the Eagles would lose. So, and he's like, no, I just missed it. I didn't mean to do that. I mean, does Elliot understand that? I mean,
well, you know what? Elliot says stupid things to be stupid. Here's the thing. Stupid people are stupid. You can't help stupid. You can't teach stupid because they're stupid.
And why are the Phillies playing in London? I mean, you're not going to find a bunch of European baseball players.
Yeah.
I mean, the Phillies should be in Brazil and the Eagles should be in London. So it doesn't really make any sense.
Well, no, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. It's none of it makes sense. But it's all about money. It's all about money. So there, baseball usually kind of follow the leader, and they are not the leader. So they're trying to be international. You know, I don't know that people in London really care about a baseball game.
No, they do like football.
The most publicity out of everything in London are the Phillies fans that are going to London. It's nothing to do with, it's when the international people really don't care. They go there, it's an activity. Is that going to make them interested? But in the end, it's not about selling tickets, about international television dollars. That's what it comes
to. Right. And now, let me talk about the...
Did you kind of lose your mind there for a little bit?
Yeah, I did. I had something I was going to say. But I was going to talk about... I was at the Phillies game last week, and something I noticed. It is the middle of the eighth inning, and a third of the people are just walking around the stadium, buying food, buying drinks, and you're telling me that the Major League Baseball is okay with the pitch clock and everything. Like, the games are quicker, but people are still buying stuff. So you're telling me they're not losing money through all this?
No. Well, how are they losing money? They have the ticket sales are great. The concessions, they're buying stuff, so that means the team, as well as Aramark, are making money on the concessions. So that's what it's all about. I don't agree with that. This is something we both agree with. If you take a kid to a ball game, why not? Hey, listen, you get your concessions. The problem is the lines get too long and there's too much time waiting for food. Am I waiting 40 minutes for a hamburger? No. For a piece of pizza? No. For crab fries? No. I'm not waiting that time. If it's going to take that long, hey, listen, I'll get it before the game starts and just hopefully you're full for the game. Or I'll buy something where there's no line. It's ridiculous to not watch a game. But here, okay, if you're taking time out to buy the food, and that's the only way you're going to be able to get food, that's one thing. But if you take a kid to the game to go out and play the baseball out in the right field corner there, on that little field they have, what'd you take him to the game for? You can take him and do that anywhere. Get the kids to enjoy the game. But the game is too tedious and there's not enough action in the game. That's part of the
problem. That's what I noticed. I noticed so many people. I mean, it's the eighth inning or the bottom of the eighth, and there's so many people just walking around.
How about the people that leave the stadium in the sixth and seventh inning?
Well, yeah, true. But and they show up early and they buy a ton of food and stuff like that, and then they're out of there. I don't understand where they have to be losing money.
Trust me, they're not losing money.
The bottom of the eighth inning, and there's 30 people in line at Shake Shack, and you're like, it's the game's almost over, and you're waiting in line for a hamburger. You're not even watching the game.
Maybe it was a blowout.
Hey, do you remember a longtime caller by the name of Captain Larry?
No.
No. Okay. Well, he just wants to say hello.
Are you done? I'm not even going to give you a chance to answer the question.
Oh, I was going to say, Jake.
Well, he didn't say anything because somehow either you got cut or you left. Dave, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. How are you? Always a pleasure to talk to you on Saturday morning.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
How
are things in Ben Salem?
Yeah, they're doing good. Beautiful sunny day, and as long as the Phillies keep winning, I'm happy. So
okay.
a quick thing before we get into the conversation. The side talk on radio, I am really worried about radio right now. And I thank you and everybody from WIP for keeping free radio alive for us every day.
You mean you're afraid of the cost for, it's not just radio.
I'm just afraid of the
too.
Business right now. I'm afraid of the business, what's going on with everybody in the radio industry. But not
well,
this
but there'll
well
always
that.
Be, there'll always be, I guess we could just call it free radio. Because
without
nobody's
doubt.
Just going to throw away those frequencies.
It's been part of my life for so many years since I started listening to you on WWDB back in the 80s.
Yeah, in 70. Actually, I was there
industry.
In 79, late 78,
yeah,
79.
And what you've given this industry will never be forgotten, brother. You know, I
you
love
are
you,
correct. So, you are correct with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So just want to talk Phils real quick.
Yes.
Obviously, and you've said this on your show, you know, numerous times, this window is only going to be there for a couple more years. And hopefully they're going to win it this year.
Well, yeah, the window's going to be there, two years. I would give it 2 years. But that's what I said last year when people saw the World Series. I said, nope, next year and the year after are the years.
I agree with you, Howard, because I keep comparing this team right now to the 1993 team. If you remember, they had such a great start the first half of the year, and they almost blew it in 93. But they had so many games they were ahead that they couldn't blow it because their record was so good.
All right, let's just break this down. The Phillies are a very good team. And all these people, you know, on social media, they have nothing to do. So they just got to whine and they got to complain about something I said. But they don't listen to everything I said. You know, it's like they questioned, oh, are the Phillies a good team now? They beat Milwaukee. Well, I've said they're a very good team. But my concern was in the playoffs, you're going to have to generate runs without hitting home runs.
Without
in the Milwaukee series, without home runs, they don't win those three games. So, and they didn't score much. They only had three hits. What is terrific for the Phillies right now is their pitching. And if they didn't have that many starters, Taijuan Walker, he doesn't even deserve to put on a uniform in that rotation.
I totally agree on that.
Okay, so if they didn't have that pitching, that starting pitching, they'd be nowhere near this record because their offense is really inconsistent. And you can't just depend on home runs. You're going to have – my only point, and I clarify this again, they are a very good baseball team with a good chance to go to the World Series. But to keep this pace up for the whole year is difficult. It really is difficult. I mean, obviously, when I said at the beginning of the season, I thought they were going to win 107 games. I thought they were going to be good, and I thought the National League or the weaknesses in baseball were starting to show more and more, and they're showing more than I even thought they would be. There's just not a lot of good teams. Hey, Milwaukee's in first place in their division, but that division sucks. That sucks. It's just, hey, outside of the Phillies and Atlanta struggling right now, outside of the Phillies, and I'll still include Atlanta, the Phillies division sucks. It's like, is Arizona still a good team? Other than that, it's the Dodgers are the only good team in that division. There's just so few good baseball teams. So, but when you get to the playoffs, you're going to have to do things better. And that means offensively than you're doing right now. So they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, it's ridiculous to think they're not going to make the playoffs. And, you know, there's obviously a good chance they're going to win the division. I can't see how they could fold up that much. Atlanta's going to make some improvements, I'm sure, at the trade deadline. But, yeah, that's my only concern is their offense. Because it's inconsistent, you got to find a way to generate runs without home runs. That's all.
Without a doubt, Howard. I'll give you my most misunderstood athlete. I don't know if he's been named yet, but I got to go with who just celebrated his birthday yesterday, his 49th birthday, AI, Allen Iverson.
You know what? I didn't even
remember
his birthday.
Conference.
Wait a minute. His birthday was yesterday?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was yesterday. I'm almost positive. I think he turned 49 years old yesterday.
Wow, I didn't realize he was that old either.
He's catching up to me. So it's just like, you know, when he got on the court, he always played hard. But when you talk to him in the media, and I know you had many conversations with him over the years, and you just never knew where he was going off the court as a player.
You know what? Kind of a different way. You knew where he was going. You just didn't understand why he was going there.
There you go. Howard, always a pleasure. I love you, brother, and thank you so much for everything. You have a great weekend.
All right, take care. You too. You know what you're thinking about? That's interesting. Allen Iverson, we got to check that. Was his birthday yesterday? You know, what was the most – I'm trying to think of the most significant play that you can remember. I'll tell you a play that – well, I won't tell you. You'll come up with it. A play that you always think about. See, he was always athletic, but early in his career, he was really athletic, really quick, like lightning. And but there's a play that everybody always goes back to. Maybe I'll touch on that at some time during the show, and I still got to explain.
His birthday was indeed yesterday, June 7th.
June 7th. Happy birthday. And I should have sent him a text. I missed his birthday. I sent him a text to wish him a happy birthday. I can't believe.
Send him a happy belated in the break.
Yeah. That's what I'll do.
I'm sure he's up now, the morning after his birthday celebration.
No. Well, he might still be up.
He might still be awake, yeah.
Yeah, from his birthday celebration. Wow, 49 years. I can't even imagine him being 49 years old. Boy, think about that. All right, let's go to Bill in Reading. Bill, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
Morning.
So, I guess I'm trying to figure out what with the Eagles situation. Maybe we're just making too much of everything. We just got to wait and see how the season goes next year. Between this press conference with Jalen Hurts and everything else going on, people are just making too much speculation, and we really don't know what's going on.
Well, not in minicamp. But Jalen usually finds a politically correct way, although he doesn't extend on much of his answers. It was a strange question. Is Nick Sirianni open minded? Well, how would he know that now? And then when he gives that response, it really has to be cleared up. Open minded on Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore's name. At least I didn't hear it. It really didn't come up. And that's really what I think. If Jalen Hurts is questioning anything, he's questioning all the new things that are being put in an offense. Now, they got plenty of time. They got camp, and they'll work, obviously, on a lot of things. They'll have a joint practice, which I don't know that they're going to show a lot, the joint practice. It's just a matter of doing the basic things right. So, it will be, but he's usually better at the tap dance. But what was he tap dancing? I mean, the question was really too broad. I thought it was too broad, and there was no follow-up.
Well, he said it was a good question when maybe he should have said, really, I don't understand your question.
And maybe you're right. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? But Jalen Hurts was thinking about something, but I don't know if it was the same thing that the reporter was thinking about when he asked the question. So it's really kind of interesting. Yeah. You know, but it creates an issue, but I think people are going down the wrong path here. I think is he questioning the offense? Is he questioning by his response the offense of Kellen Moore? Because afterwards he said some kind of good things about Nick Sirianni, kind of. I mean, who knows? He really is a difficult guy to figure out. But again,
hopefully he's communicating better with the team than he is with the public.
But if he plays well, nobody cares. And that's right. That's what it always comes down to. If you play well, nobody cares. But he's got to play well, and he's got to be really what he was 2 years ago, not last year. So it's just, all right, who do you think is the most understood, misunderstood, or player you just can't figure out?
Well, during his career, I would say it was Mike Schmidt, because everybody thought he didn't care the whole time.
Why would you say Mike Schmidt?
People thought he didn't care the whole time when he was playing. You know, he was too cool and everything. When I think it turned out he really did.
Yeah, but he it wasn't that he was too cool. It was just that was his personality.
So, yeah.
What you're saying is you didn't understand it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it was misread, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? That's in a different way. That's actually not a bad response, because he just... And I knew that was Mike's personality because that was his father's person. I knew his dad and I knew his mom. And that was his mom was very outgoing, very outgoing. But his dad.
I didn't know them, so.
Yeah, but that's what Mike was. He was really his dad. He said to me one time, he said, I didn't have the personality to play in Philadelphia. And he was probably right. Because, you know, in certain cities, nobody would care. But you had to be a little bit different. But he's so very personable now. but there's not that pressure. I think he worried too much about the pressure every day of living living up to what people expected or what he expected. He expected. That's why he retired. He retired because he wanted his expectations of the way he needed to play, he didn't reach, and he knew it was time, and he knew it was over, and that's why he just retired. If he can't play the way he needs to play, that's it. It's over. But he was – it's an interesting name. All right. Hey, I appreciate the call. Thanks, Bill.
Yep. Okay.
215-592-9494. Interesting. I will AI's birthday. I mean, what's the most significant play? The most significant play that you can think of. There's two now that I, but there's so many plays. There's two now that I can think of. Maybe if the audio comes through, we'll try to come up with the audio and see if, see if people remember those. All right, 215-592-9494. But the question to win the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's, located in Horsham, Fort Washington, Lionville. By the way, a lot of Phillies baseball people will be watching there. Today's game at 1:10. You can listen to it on WIP, or if you're at McGurk's, you can watch it there. Tomorrow's game is at 10:10 in the morning. So what's going to happen there is I'm sure they're going to serve breakfast there at McGurk's, so you can enjoy that as well. More locations to come, too, by the way. And the question, the most misunderstood player, well, you just can't figure the person out that you can remember. I'm Howard Eskin. The time now is 9:21. Address that last one. Paul George, 4 years ago, was a really good player. If you have to give Paul George a max contract, I don't care whose money it is, it will inhibit your team for the years ahead. So you'd have 1 year, yet any one of these people that you're talking about bringing in would lock this team down for a few years. And just think, I thought Joel Embiid was signed after this year, but apparently he's up for a 3-year max contract at $193 million. It's just the NBA is a complete joke when it comes to money. Old players, not at the same level. There's going to be a $100 million player soon, and it's just going to be a joke. It's just, it's not a good mentality that players have. When you make that kind of money, it's unbelievable. All right, so let me address the Steve Carlton thing. You know what? Well, before I address that, I want to address Allen Iverson. All right, happy birthday, and I did send him a birthday greeting. I just sent it to him during the break, so he might still be up, or he might just have gotten to sleep. Who knows? Because yesterday was his birthday. Two significant plays that I remember. And there's others. And we have audio. And let's start. And what's the first one? The first one is the Michael Jordan. Okay. All right. The first one is Michael Jordan, who, was, by the way, was Defensive Player of the Year for a lot of years. You know, how many? When you talk about the best player ever, not only was the best player offensively, he was the best player defensively. How about this? For 9 years, Michael Jordan played all 82 regular season games and every playoff game. Never will that happen again. All right, let's hear the first play that is significant in his career.
Iverson has Jordan. The crowd is into it. Allen shakes free. Gets two!
And the crowd loves that. Take a look at the crossover. Mike said no. Allen said yes. The bucket. The crowd loves it. Nice move by Allen Iverson.
It was the crossover the crossover, which nobody will forget, left Michael Jordan in no man's land. He's just too quick. He's good at defensive, and he was really a good defensive player. But it was just, Iverson's just too quick. And that's kind of towards the end of Jordan's career as well. All right, the second play that you will probably remember from Allen Iverson just responded to me. All right, the second play that you will remember from Allen Iverson. Let's hear it.
Iverson, bothered by Loon. Iverson. Oh.
Yes. How about that?
And steps over Teron Loon.
7 straight points by Iverson. Looked like he was dead in the water.
The step when he stepped over Ty Lue. It's just, it was amazing. So those are two, there's probably many, obviously there's many other plays too. So it's great.
Are we allowed to hear what he said back, or is that private?
Oh, that's private.
No, okay, classified info.
I don't reveal my, you know what, the most significant thing? It is, what, 9:30 in the morning.
And he replied.
And he replied. Okay, so now here's the thing. Did he reply because he hasn't gotten to sleep yet? Or
you got to follow up with him and ask.
I know. I just, you know, I can't do that. I can't say, are you still up from partying? I can't do that. I just responded back to him, too. I can't do that. But, you know, it's amazing. You know, when you think about, and this is kind of interesting, at the beginning of his career, Iverson and I became, I'll say, friendly, all right? We kind of kid around with each other. We had a good time, and I tried to impress upon him about the right things. And then he didn't like sometimes Larry Brown's substitution patterns because he wanted to play every minute of every game, which never happens today. So you give him credit for that. And then his people, I'll say posse in the words that used to be used then, I think told, a matter of fact, I'm almost positive, told him, you know, you can't just listen to that guy, you know, because they wanted him to do everything that wasn't whatever. So then he kind of shut it down, and he always would tell me if I said something on the air that he didn't like, he didn't hear it, but somebody else told him about it. So then we had a little bit of a challenge in the middle. And then at the end of the career, it was better. And now every time he sees me, and I'll say this, love you, brother, was one of his responses. So now he understands, and he told me that one time. He says, I understand you were doing your job, and you got to let the past be the past. I understand you were doing your job, and I'm okay with that. You know, because he now understands. Dick Vermeil and I at the beginning, because I said he worked players too hard. As a matter of fact, I saw him yesterday at Jaworski's golf tournament, we hugged each other. And now we're good friends, but he understood what I was doing. But Iverson was that way. Was that way too. Boy, I'm telling all these stories. It's just storytelling time. All right, so I'll tell you the Steve Carlton story. When I was younger, early in my career, very early in my career, I was making peanuts. Actually, peanuts were worth more than what I was making. And that was part of my commencement speech early in my career. You can't worry about the money when you're starting out trying to succeed in the business. As you guys, you know, Dan, as you guys know, you're not going to make a lot of money, but you hope it leads to something better. And you just hope that you enjoy it and you keep on fighting through and not worry about the money, but whatever. So players used to have their cars driven back from spring training. They didn't used to take it on a truck or whatever they do. So I got connected with Steve Carlton, and for a few years, I drove his car back from spring training. He paid my flight down, and then he paid me to drive the car back. And that's how we got to know each other really well. It was crazy. He actually let me use his car, and it was a Mercedes. And obviously, I couldn't afford one back early. This was really early in my career. I just started doing I don't know if I was a reporter then for another station or was doing talk radio, but whatever the case, and let me use his Mercedes-Benz when he was on the road, which is crazy. But he was different to the media, and a reporter wrote about his father's problems with alcohol, and that was the end. That's when he completely shut it off. That was it. That was the end of Steve Carlin. All right. So now that we've dealt with a lot of stories from the past, let's Dan, who's the first caller? I'm doing so many things here.
We got Mark in Woodbury Heights.
Okay, Mark, you're on WIP.
Howard, good morning.
Morning.
Howard, Phillies.
Yes.
Bottom line, you got to beat the Dodgers to get to the World Series. You're going to have to beat the Yankees, in my opinion, to win it. You're not good enough offensively. Will Dave Dombrowski make a move to get a consistent hitter on this team?
Well, yeah, okay. So who do you think that could be?
I don't know. I'm asking you. They need an outfielder. Their outfielder.
Well, first of all, their most consistent hitter this season. Their most consistent hitter this season is Alec Bohm, and I kind of knew just by the way he was going with pitches. He was hitting it where it was pitched. He wasn't trying to hit home runs. His approach at the plate was really good at the end of last year, and I knew in spring training, and people had told me his approach was really good, and I identified that, not that it's anything special, because I'm sure Phillies people identified that he was really good.
I agree. But you need more guys like Alec Bohm. Like, Alec Bohm is not hitting a lot of home runs, but he's hitting the ball in the gaps. He's hitting the ball where it's pitched. You need more. You need another guy in the lineup like that.
Yes, you do. And I don't know. I thought Stott would be a more consistent hitter, and I still think, first of all, he works pitchers. He's really good at working a pitcher. I still think he should be the leadoff hitter, but that's that boat and that ship and that horse is out of the barn. It's done. It's not going to happen, not with this team, because they're locked into this analytics nonsense. But you know what? You would hope when Trey Turner comes back, he's that guy.
Yeah,
because I don't know that anybody else. I mean, Bryce Harper, as really, he's a power hitter, and he's not going to be consistent all the time. So that's
I understand this, Howard. But even when Turner comes back, you're not getting any production offensively, really, from your outfielders. You're not. So did you ever see a World Series
team?
What
do you mean? You're not excited about Castellanos in the last couple of games?
What's he batting?
I know. What's he batting, 200?
210?
Yeah, I know.
Seriously. What's Rojas batting? What's Pache batting?
I know.
Marsh.
I know. Well, and now I'll go back to something else. And I asked Rob Thompson this question, and he was very honest with his answer in spring training when I had him on the air. Are you better with Harper and Wright and Hoskins at first?
He no question about it.
And
but,
he said, where do I put Castellanos? I said, put him in left. He says,
I know,
yes,
but Howard, with Hoskins?
We are a better, his response was, yes, we're a better team with Harper and Wright. So if that would have happened, then you would have had better offense in the outfield, and you still wouldn't have lost anything at first base.
I don't know about that. Hoskins is not very good defensively.
Well, no, I'm talking about offensively. We were talking about offense.
Okay, yeah, okay, I understand.
Okay.
Defensively, though, he could be a butcher at first base.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right, but that's, hey, listen, Trey Turner's not a great defensive player. He's below
he's
average.
Not.
No.
He's not. Okay. I mean, is there someone
but you know what? You got to live. You got to live with it some way. But Hoskins should have been their first baseman. I mean, he would have signed here. He would have signed here for a year. He would have signed here.
Is there an outfielder, Howard, that you're aware of on a team that's really not going anywhere that the Phillies could get at the deadline?
Oh, yeah, there's always, there's been some players that have, the names have been thrown out there, but it's too early. The trades aren't going to happen until at least the beginning of July, I would think, because teams are going to try to want to milk everything they can get out of a player. But I still think they need a closer. I do.
They do need a closer. That is true. That is 100% true.
So what's more? What's more important? What's more important? I don't know. Hey, who was the player?
Well, they're starting pitching. What's more important is that you need more offensive production.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, you do, but you got to hope the players that you have there. You got two players that are making $300 million. Come on now.
Listen, why didn't they beat Arizona last year? What's the main reason?
Because they didn't score runs without home runs.
Right. They couldn't hit.
Runs without home runs, but they're going to slug. I got to move on. But I'm going to give you a chance here. Who is the most misunderstood player, or you just can't figure out?
Dennis Rodman.
I really wanted to concentrate on Philadelphia players.
Philadelphia.
We understood, bro. Did you have a Philadelphia player?
That we couldn't understand. A Philadelphia player, Joel Embiid. I still can't figure him out, man.
Well, I can. He's all about himself. All right, I appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. I'm Howard Eskin. We'll get more to try to get some more responses. Retirement. It was a retirement. Not really in sports, but I want to mention that anyway. I gave all my stories. I mean, the Iverson stories, I thought was a good one. By the way, my brother just texted me. He drove Larry Boa's car back from spring training, so I got him in the mix, too. He got a ticket. I didn't get any tickets. You got to watch those state cops along those highways. You got a ticket in Georgia. Georgia's a really brutal state. That's a brutal state. Those cops are nasty. He got a ticket. So you just had to pay the ticket. So part of what Boa paid you, you had to pay in the ticket. Hey, you know, that's life. 215-592-9494. We've got some open lines if you want to get through and try to be a part of winning that $100 KISS certificate to McGurk's. I'm Howard Eskin. The time now is 9:42, and a tasty new game is coming your way. Tasty, tasty, tasty. Test your skills in Kirby's Quick Run at tastycake.com. I might have to check it out today. I'm a Crimpet fan, and Kirby the Crimpet. If he's handing out crimpets, I'm good with it. Help Kirby the Crimpet collect all of the Tasty Cake treats. Play now to enter Tasty Cake Sweepstakes for a chance to win exclusive prizes. Kirby is a crimpet, but he hands out crimpets to eat, too. Increase your chances of winning by playing every day. And don't forget to celebrate National Crimpet Day. Hey, listen. When you have national days for all these things, why not National Crimpet Day? And that's on July 7th. So you'll be eating crimpets over the July 4th holiday, and you have National Crimpet Day on July 7th. Pick up some great stuff, some limited edition confetti crimpets in your stores now. Tasty Cake, accept no substitutes. Sajak. And you know what? I wasn't a big Wheel of Fortune fan, but I know a lot of people were. I think it was 44 years. Was it 44 years? Did he do that show that long? But it's been a long time. And last night was his last show. No more Pat Sajak at Wheel of Fortune. But then the show will move on. But obviously a staple. It's just like Alex Trebek. The show moved on. But nobody will ever forget either Alex Trebek or Pat Sajak. All right. Fine day. Reliving some of the old good things that happened in people that I work with. All right, let's go to Al. Al, you're on WIP.
You okay?
Yes.
I'll tell you. You're right.
King
the
PhD, by the way, since I got my honor.
Oh, I know. King PhD.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have t-shirts. Really, I'm gonna have t-shirts made up to try to raise money.
You
for
should.
Charity.
Because I'll be the first one to buy one. Jay.
Okay, James. It'll be up there soon.
What I want to say is about this Jalen Hurts thing, real quick, is they're making a big thing out of nothing. The guy's got to produce. But my question to you is, are we going to see Jalen Hurts under center? Is this offense going to be a different flavor than vanilla?
Okay, well, let's start answering questions one by one. Okay. Will be under center more? Yes. But sometimes a quarterback sees the defense better from the shotgun. So it depends. I don't know exactly what Kellen Moore's offense is, but he'll be more under center. But what you're going to see, I'm telling you, you're going to see Saquon Barkley involved. You know, I know he's a running back, and obviously he's going to run the football. I still think he's going to be the third leading receiver on this team.
I agree all the way.
Yep.
I'm excited. I'm really excited. I mean, all this other stuff that's there, all this hype about what he says and how what he produces is the most essential thing. All this, I don't care. You don't have to be an orator. You know, I mean, that's stupid.
I know.
They were nuts.
But it's the success of the offense. I don't care whether he's under center or not. I could care less.
Okay.
As long as he's successful. I don't care. Most teams now use the shotgun more. I guess the quarterback feels more comfortable. And in college football, players are coming out of college running more shotgun. I don't care I don't care the pistol, the shotgun. I don't care what they do. All I want is success. I want him to make the right reads, make the right progressions. I'm telling you, Tanner McKee, he is really good. And again, it's shorts and no pads, but it seems like he has a really good grasp of making reads, and he's got a strong arm. I'll tell you, he's going to be a good quarterback down the line. All right, who's your player? The misunderstood, or you just can't figure out.
Dick Allen.
Dick Allen is a really good one. See, our genius, who is producing, Buzz Dan Wilson, doesn't remember Dick Allen or Steve Carlton, but Dick Allen was...
No, actually, enough has been covered on Dick Allen since, obviously, his number getting retired, and his story has been told that he certainly seemed misunderstood as a player, and fortunately... When they retired his number, he was still living at that point. So that I've actually started to get a grasp on.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So, Al, you're in with Dick Allen. We'll see what happens. And let's go to Dan. Dan is our last caller of the day before we make the decision here.
Hey, Howard. How you doing? About the Jalen Hurts thing and his laughter and everything, I got a kick out of it because when I boil Nick Sirianni down to, I think he's the last person in Philadelphia that decided to run the ball in his first year. I have no faith in him.
All right, let me just give you this little number. He's won more games in his first 3 years as head coach than any coach in the NFL history. All right, he's made the playoffs his first 3 years. He made a Super Bowl in his second year. I don't care what he does as long as you win. I could care less.
Yeah, well, he was winning up until he threw that thing out in Kansas City where he yelled at the fans like, ha, 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 yeah, you know, and everything. And then all of a sudden...
With it. I'm telling you, this team just... the team fell apart because they weren't good enough and they couldn't tackle. Their defense was brutal. And
they started
playing better teams. And that's the other thing. They started playing better teams.
Well, hold on. Better teams. The Tampa Bay Bucks with their quarterback... The Cardinals
was in the play. You're talking about the playoffs, all right?
Yeah.
It's San Francisco. They weren't a better team.
No, they were better, but they lost to a lot of.
All right. I was just trying to clarify that. All right, Dan, give me your since I'm up against the clock here.
I joined late. I don't know, but Sergei Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky, you know what? Bobrovsky was a weird guy. He was a weird guy. All right. All right, thanks for the call. All right, hey, Dan, before we make the decision here, can you give me Jalen Hurts again so we can just absorb going into the weekend? If you can grab that real quick, the question and the response.
You know, Nick being open-minded to change up the offense like he has, I mean, what's that say about him?
I mean, it's a great question. I don't know that I know the answer to it.
Well, what have you seen from him as far as doing that?
I think he's just, you know, he's been a, you know, great, and you know, the messages he's delivering to the team. He's trying to be very intentional in what he's saying. And yeah.
Really, my question is this all about Kellen Moore's offense? But whatever. All right. And so I don't think he was ripping the coach, but that's just me. All right, Dan. I know you've come up with a choice. There actually were some good ones, but who was your choice?
So I actually think we were talking in the break. I thought A.J. Brown was the leader in the clubhouse. I like that Dick Allen answer. That feels actually like who should be the leader here. So I'm going to give it to Al.
Okay. Wow, you're going into the past before you were even born. Dick Allen, he was a different guy. I got to know him, and even when I got to know him, he was a different guy. But A.J. Brown was – WIP wanted to trade him. People didn't think he was a team guy. He's such
feels like misunderstood in very different ways.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly right. But that was a good one. Steve Carlton was a good one. Iverson, we understood him. We understood what he was. And happy birthday to AI. I texted, and I'm not sure, and I'm not going to ask him that. Are you still up from partying, or did you just get up?
They got to grill him on that. Be, you know, be a journalist.
Yeah. You know what? I'll wait a couple of days before I do. Maybe later this afternoon.
Yeah, text him at 11 a.m. See if he's still responding.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So who's that? Al wins
that. Al is the winner of the gift card.
Okay. All right. And so everybody have thanks, genius. Buzz Dan or Dan Buzz Wilson, whatever. Buzz this. All right. Coming up next is Glenn Macnell and Mike Sielski. Am I correct?
You are correct. They're both standing by.
And maybe Mike can answer the question why it's a food fight at those news conferences for the Eagles, where it really, all that Jalen Hurts stuff deserved more of a follow-up, but people are already on to their next question. So to try to find out really where he was going with that. But whatever. All right, everybody have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. I'll put this up on the podcast. If you missed part of it, it'll be on, you know, I'll put it on my social media platforms. And everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy it. Phillies baseball this afternoon at 1:10 from London. Last time I was in London, I saw Prince Harry. So that was my claim to fame at Buckingham Palace. All right, everybody have a great one. WIP Sports Time is 9:57.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
O'Reilly.